Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wesley and Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So, Steve, last hour we were talking to Alex about colleges and universities, and because a lot of parents and grandparents, you know, they don't want to send their Christian young person off to a school that's going to attack their faith, right?
Correct.
So you need to be careful. We all need to be careful and studied and travel to the campus, talk to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so do your homework so you know what your kid's getting in. So I said, I used my experience. This is in the 80s, just one little thing that happened about my science professor attacking people who, she didn't attack me personally, but I mean, she was mocking people who believe in biblical creation.
Right.
So the class was anatomy and physiology, and I just wondered, how did you do?
In anatomy and physiology?
Yeah, because I had to retake.
I went to a Christian college, and I don't remember taking an anatomy and physiology class.
You know,
I wasn't pre-med like you.
But you know what I'm talking about. What?
I do. I do know what you're
pre-med.
Talking about.
Pre-med.
that was one of your traits, right?
That's funny right there. Me and pre-med.
No.
I graduated 55th in my class of 56, but I want to operate on you.
No, I don't remember taking the class. I do. Here's what I will say to that topic is don't assume because it's a Christian college that you're going to escape those kinds of problems.
Well, and also, Fred, you don't need to be, we can't, like you said, we need to be exposed to alternative ideas and so that we can defend our own faith. There's nothing wrong. You don't want to have blind faith.
I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Come full circle on that and your concern. You just don't want to go into anything, whether that be college or the real world or whatever, with naiveness or blindness. That's
right,
the key.
Right. Also, when a lot of these professors, they have absolute control of their classroom. So some of them will engage students and have debate and discussion, but sometimes it's an authoritarian situation where you better buy my dogma or you're not passing this class. We've heard those stories too.
This whole movie series is based on that.
What's that?
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead. Yeah, that's right. All right, what's your first story? Did that building ever fall down in Manhattan, New York?
No, the building is still up in Manhattan, New York.
Tell people what happened who don't know.
All right, this was a building in Manhattan that used to be the headquarters, I believe, for Pfizer at one point. And investigators went in and found that it was crumbling. It was literally, some of the girders were literally folding in on themselves.
You mean kind of like the COVID vaccine?
Kind of like the COVID vaccine, kind of like a flesh-eating disease almost on the girders. I don't know, after looking at those pictures, I don't know how the building was frankly still standing. Now, they have said, building inspectors and engineers have said that the building is now safe. I believe even there's people that live up above this. I wouldn't want to.
They're renovating it.
How tall is this building?
It looks like 24 stories. They want to add multiple stories to this building. That's what they're in the process of doing right now. Because they want to turn it into an apartment building.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start adding floors to an old building, I think you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should name it that, the Roll of the Dice Condos.
We got a bargain for you.
We got a bargain for you. We'll come down off our price.
With that one,
So what if they did was they made people evacuate for about 2 or 3 days. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. The architecture, one of the architectures that they were interviewing about.
The architects?
Architects.
Right.
They were interviewing that was speaking to the integrity of the structure, said that the way the building is built, that you will not see a full collapse of the building, but you will see a collapse of you could see a collapse of a portion of the building. Now,
yeah,
yeah, I'm just repeating
I know. Makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah. In other words,
worst case scenario.
You rent an apartment on the 16th floor.
Right.
Next week, you may be on the 10th
floor. Yeah. Right.
He said, I tell you where I'm not getting an apartment on the 13th floor.
That's right.
I'm not getting an apartment on the 13th floor, nor am I getting apartment 666. I ain't living there.
No.
You're going to have to give me 665.
Ain't going to do it.
Not going to happen. All right, so anyway, so the building, that's going to be a legal mess right there. They're going to be people suing people. And
yeah,
if you had an apartment in that condominium complex, it is that. It's a condominium complex,
right? They're turning it into one. They want to put more than 1,600
So nobody's living
apartments
there yet?
No.
But if you had committed to buy a condo there and this situation came up, I would back out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, And that's where you're going to run into problems, because somebody's going to pay, either the insurance company or the architecture firm, or I doubt the builders probably won't, because they rely on engineers, and unless the engineers work for them. Anyway, I just know
it's a mess.
What you're saying, what happened was you had a older building, and they're trying to build new apartments on top of the foundation. And that's what got the attention of somebody who saw it move or shift, or maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the girders collapsed.
Yeah, that's right.
And some of the bricks started to fall off the building and onto the sidewalk.
We're talking about Midtown Manhattan.
Yes.
I mean, millions of people pass through those streets, mm-hmm. You know, on a monthly basis, I would guess, maybe. So,
The 1,600 rental apartments, roughly a quarter of them are designated to be affordable housing.
We're going to be real affordable right now.
Yeah, right. more than 100,000 square feet of amenities, including a rooftop pool, fitness center, and they haven't set the prices yet, but based on comparable luxury rentals in Midtown Manhattan, you can expect a studio apartment to go from anywhere between $38 and $4,800 a month, a two-bedroom all the way up to as much as $10,000 a month in rent.
What are the Verbo reviews going to say? Yeah, it's got a great kitchen, great view. Slight chance it'll collapse in the middle of the night, but other than that, I think
we'll give you your money back.
We're going to give it a 3.8,
especially with a pool on the roof.
Yeah, you got a pool on the roof, so if you collapse, you at least you'll.
Like I said, the couple
water.
Of videos I saw, they were oddly confident.
Okay.
That if anything happens, it's a partial collapse, but not a full collapse.
Sure.
But I'm going like, what's...
I mean, we can all handle partial collapses. It's the whole thing coming down that you worry about. Next story, Steve.
All right. I heard you guys talking earlier last hour about President Trump saying he's open to resuming negotiations with Iran over the war there.
I think he had just woke up, hadn't even had his eggs yet.
Well, that's he might want to rethink that. There's a fundamental...
We'll let you tell him.
There's a fundamental misunderstanding right now. Either the president and his team, which would be Vice President Vance, Jared Kushner, and his negotiator, what's his name? It was a W.
Wyckoff.
They don't understand this, or they do and don't know how to get around it. Ben Shapiro is here, and he's going to explain how the worldview of the people we're negotiating with is completely foreign to the worldview of the United States. And
okay.
The two are almost incompatible. This is a little bit longer than normal, but let's listen to Cut 16.
We assume that Islamic actors in the Middle East are just like us. They want the same things for their kids. They want the same ends. Human flourishing, right? That's what we want. That's what they want. We all just have different roads to get there. Wrong. We are committed to a different set of values than cultures all around the world. We're weird. Western, educated, industrialized, rich, democratic. Right? That is not the norm. It's not what everybody thinks. It is what we think. Those values are naturalistic outgrowths of our Judeo-Christian heritage. They did not come from nowhere. They came from originally the Old Testament and then the New Testament and then church. And they make us different from other cultures. We say things like, hey, you guys, you should want to preserve the life and the lives of yourselves and your citizens. And they say, we want Islam to win. Totally different worldview. How do you make a deal with people who think like this, whose set of incentives is different, whose logical thinking is different, whose approach to negotiation is totally different? The only way to make a successful deal with people who think like this is to totally and completely devastate their capacity to win. The only way to have a successful agreement in the Middle East is for one side to be so thoroughly devastated that the only way out is to basically give up the ghost and try to play it as a win. Now, President Trump looked at Iran on an absolute level, and he kept saying, they're dead, right? Dead economy. Military basically defenestrated. Ballistic missile facilities gone. Missile launchers tremendously damaged. Nuclear facilities blown up. A navy at the bottom of the sea. A leadership class entirely dead. And he said, okay, well, I guess they're defeated. Now it's time for them to negotiate their surrender. Here's what they saw. An America that wanted to negotiate. An America that was afraid to finish them off. An America that was not going to forcibly open the strait and, in fact, was begging for the strait to be open. Begging them for the strait to be open.
You're not going to be able to...
Well, you're right. He's right. I don't know how much President Trump understood that or appreciated that. I think Secretary of State Marco Rubio certainly does. And I'm not criticizing President Trump, except to say I don't think he's ever dealt with anybody quite like this.
There's no art of the deal here.
Yeah, this isn't right. There's no art of the deal. This isn't normal behavior where you can swap things, trade things,
or give them time to get over being mad.
Right. Especially this particular regime in Iran, they're operating on theological Islamic fundamentalism, and that's not like we operate. That's what Ben Shapiro said. They don't think like we do.
No, but you know who also understands that Islamic mind? Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah.
He understands it.
Yeah.
He understands that they are driven by their religion. You know, it's not like the Islamic regime in Iran and Hamas and Hezbollah haven't told us. They want Israel wiped off the face of the earth and the United States next.
Yes. Islam does not value human life the same way Judaism and Christianity does.
That's right.
I'll give you an example. When Israel has to militarily go after Hamas, the terrorist organization, inside Gaza, the Gaza Strip, the Hamas terrorists, they are notorious for hiding behind mosques and hospitals and under schools where kids are, because they know that the Israelis' hands are tied, because the Israelis understand that, they understand that human life does matter. This is my perspective, okay? So they don't want to intentionally kill innocent people while they're going after the terrorists and the bad guys. Now, unfortunately, sometimes that does happen because all those people in Gaza, for example, are just congested, and the Hamas fighters hide among the civilian population, the non-combatants. But I'm just saying, so the Judeo-Christian teaching is every human life is valuable in the eyes of God. That's okay, and so we should act in that way. That's why you don't have prisoners and then you just slaughter them all in war. A lot of times we take prisoners of war because we don't want to, because we value the individual human life. Where in Islam, really it's about whatever pleases Allah in the minds of the who's ever commanding the in Iran, the Islamic Revolutionary Forces. So does that make sense?
It does. You know,
and then you go Fred, and then you go Wesley.
I have not heard this audio, but I've been told by a number of sources. One of the Hamas terrorists who carried out that massacre in October of 2023 got on his cell phone and called his mom and proudly told his mother what he was doing to a woman.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah. Well, for the non-Muslim, for the devout Muslims, and I'm talking all. I'm not talking about nominal Muslims, but for the devout Muslims, we are infidels. Mm-hmm. The non-devout Muslim, and I even the devout Muslim views non-devout Muslims as infidels, and infidels can be treated in any way. Okay, what I wanted to finish my thought process a while ago. So the difference between Hamas is they hide behind schools and hospitals and mosques, but the Israelis, they don't do that. The Israelis don't get behind schools or hide behind hospitals.
They're the worst genocide committers in history.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just saying there's a different view of human life among between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Go ahead.
And another comparison to the make that point is that on October 7, 2023, Hamas didn't call and give a heads up of where they're going to attack.
Right.
Whereas Israel, United States, and really a lot of other countries, if you're at war with them, you go, hey, you need to get the women and children out. We got about 12 hours.
The reason we do that, and Israel does that, is because, as I said earlier, that they value.
That's right. And they
human life and don't want to kill it.
Now, you know, obviously war is war, and there's some. But the idea of giving them. But remember, Hamas didn't call in and say, hey, I'm letting you know.
Right.
I mean, that's a big comparison.
Yeah. Next story.
All right. Day two of the Tyler Robinson hearing. We talked about this yesterday with Abe. It's a preliminary hearing to see if there's enough evidence to start a trial. And at issue today,
the Charlie Kirk trial.
Charlie Kirk. Yes. This is the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk. At issue today is a video that has some testimony from from Tyler Robinson's significant other. A furry, gay, weird person. And the judge wants to redact some of this. Erica Kirk has asked the court to play it in its full, without any redactions, because she says to redact it would fuel more conspiracy theories. And believe me, with Candace Owens and other people out there, conspiracy theories have gone through the roof with this, and so Erica Kirk wants it all out there to stop any further conspiracy theories. So anyway, the judge, I believe, Fred, you might know better, but the judge said he was going to play. I don't know whether they're going to play the whole thing or the redact.
No, he has agreed. Judge Tony Graff, who's overseeing this preliminary hearing, has said he is willing to play portions of this interview that the cops carried out with this Tyler Robinson's significant other.
Yeah. So
that's the first I heard of that. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know that there's going to be much doubt as far as the outcome of the hearing. There is enough evidence to put Robinson on trial for murder.
One angle that I have not heard discussed just a whole lot, but a little, is there, with the text messages, is there any evidence that you've seen or any discussion that could point to Tyler Robinson's boyfriend being knowing or complicit,
so
or
the text messages between the two after the event were fairly stilted.
Okay.
In other words, if you were going to plant evidence or plant something that says, you know, go look at my computer, you know, don't tell anybody. If you're going to try to make someone sound like they didn't know what was going on, that's the language that they put in the text. Now, it could have been stilted. The jury's out on that.
Yeah.
But the text messages were certainly criticized for being stilted.
The prosecution has given Tyler Robinson's boyfriend immunity in exchange for his testimony.
Oh, really?
The information that he gave.
Okay.
So what the picture we have right now is this guy was willing to spill the beans to avoid being charged as an accomplice in a murder.
Okay.
Sounds like to me his only hope for escaping the death penalty is to say, I did it. Please don't execute me.
Some kind of a plea.
Yep.
That would be, but I think Jenna, was it Jenna telling us that the prosecutors aren't interested in a plea deal?
No, that might have been Abe.
Oh, yesterday. Abe?
It was Abe.
Okay, well, of course, that could change. Mm-hmm. I guess the only advantage to a, quote, plea deal.
I think you're right. Jenna also, but they both said the same thing.
Yeah, would be if the prosecution decides we just want to avoid a trial because that way, you know, we don't have to have one and all that goes into that. We just, we'll just avoid the trial. He pleads guilty and he goes to jail for, or prison, I guess it is, for the rest of his life. But they had the death penalty in Utah, and this crime was so public and so vicious. If he did it, he's probably gonna.
That's right.
I don't know what they, you know, a lot of times you get the death penalty, and then you're reading about some guy 20 years later going, well, his fifth hearing for. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So who knows?
Am I right that Gary Gilmore was executed in Utah by firing squad?
They still do that.
Last I checked, that was one of the options.
It is an option.
In Utah?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Firing squad.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's pretty gruesome. All right, next story.
All right. Voters in Texas, I am begging you not to fall for the rumor that your candidate there
What's his name?
James Tallarico.
Oh, Tallarico.
He's running.
He's the Democrat senatorial candidate.
Running for Senate in Texas. He has made kind of expressions that he's a Christian, but everything that he says belies that, and I wanted to bring you the latest. He was complaining about some of the actions from the Trump administration to curb gender transition, gender mutilation surgeries on young children, and this is what he had to say about that, cut 17.
You saw it in the anti-LGBTQ legislation, including the bill that would have denied gender-affirming health care to trans children. And then, of course, famously, infamously, we saw it last session with the most extreme abortion ban in the country. All these ideologies stem from this Christofascism movement.
What are you talking about? Banning on abortion? What is he talking about?
The House, I believe, or the Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe. I'm pretty sure that's what he was talking about.
That's been a long time ago.
Well, right?
I think what's clear is he's all in on the trans movement. He doesn't have a problem with surgery.
Children.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a problem with abortion. I mean, Texans have a pretty clear choice. They have a pretty clear choice.
Ken Paxton.
Versus.
Or this
guy. Tallarico.
Yeah. Is he the guy, Tallarico, the guy said, I'm a Christian who doesn't like Christianity?
Yes. He's the one that's also said all faiths lead to all roads lead to the same, you know, Islam and.
But then why
Buddha.
Be a Christian?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's not.
If all roads lead to God.
He's not. I would say.
Are you judging him, Steve?
I am. Okay. Based on his words, based on his testimony, I'm making an informed.
He doesn't have a chance. But
you know. No, I think he's going to lose.
Yep.
Too liberal for Texas. Now it may be 5 points, may not be a blowout, but I think he'll lose to. Ken Paxton, who's already won a couple of times on a statewide level, right?
Uh-huh.
Statewide races.
Yep.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Fred, Wesley, Chris, Alex, Brent Creeley, our producer, Cole Green, our video man. Is there anybody else? Somebody was vacuuming out there.
Do we count them too?
Well
then we got to get to the person that made the popcorn.
Well, that's true. We just don't have time for it. See you tomorrow with Trivia Friday.